Welcome to Shaken and Stirred. It's a James Bond rewatch podcast for diehard 00s and franchise first-timers alike. My name is Evan 00 Atkinson, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Alex 00 Doherty. Alex, how are you?
Doing great on this anniversary date.
Tell them what it is.
Today is the 60th anniversary of good old Bond here.
It has been 60 years. Cheers. since Dr. No came out in theaters. Also, fun fact, 60 years since the Beatles' first single came out.
Wow.
October 5th, 1962. Big day.
Big day.
Big day, big year.
We love Libra season.
Truly. Yes. Today we're watching GoldenEye.
Woo!
It is the 17th Bond movie, maybe, if I have that right. 1995's GoldenEye. This is our first Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan Bond, fun fact. They wanted him to be Bond for a long time.
Really?
For Your Eyes Only was supposed to be Roger Moore's last movie, and then it was going to be Pierce Brosnan. And he was like getting ready to do it. And then Rex Magnum PI? No. What's it called? Remington Steele. It was a TV. I went into my mind palace for that one.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's a TV show. He was on. He was like huge. It's called Remington Steele, and they called him back like the day he was going to start shooting Bond, and they were like, hey, you're contractually obligated to do Remington Steele, you got to come back, come do it. And
no,
so
Bond.
They bought the shambling bones of Roger Moore out of the tomb to come back and do Octopussy and View to a Kill. So it was like,
wow, that's tough.
Finally Remington Steele was over, and he was, oh no, they did Dalton, I guess, in between then too.
No, yeah, Timothy Dalton.
Remington Steele was going on for a while, and then GoldenEye 95, which is, I think, our biggest gap, 6 years between Bond movies.
Yeah, there was one other large gap earlier, but I don't think it was that big.
Nothing's bigger than 3 or 4 years, I think.
Wow.
The next biggest gap is between Die Another Day and Casino Royale, which feels movie-wise like forever.
I thought it was genuinely years on years. Turns out just two.
Yeah.
Four. Look at that.
We'll get there. You keep counting up, you'll get to it. I have seen GoldenEye, but I was like 10. So I remember the broad strokes of this, but it's kind of just a Bond movie. I played a video game called GoldenEye Rogue Agent a lot.
Ooh.
Had nothing to do with this movie. It just, you had a golden eye.
So spoilers, I guess that's not why the name is.
Yeah, it is not.
Taking that off my guess.
This is our third Bond movie with gold in the title.
Golden Gun.
Goldfinger.
Oh. Well, nothing will be more epic than the Goldfinger murders.
Yeah, no, that one's all about gold. Mm-hmm. This one's less about gold.
Okay, another spoiler for my guess.
Oh, shit, all right, sorry.
God damn it.
Well, I'll stop spoiling it. Alex, what do you think this movie's about?
I think this movie is going to be about, I think GoldenEye is going to refer to somebody that Bond is against and then ends up befriending. It's going to be like an assassin who's just really good. It's definitely going to be a woman.
Mrs. GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm, okay. That kind of vibe. I think we're going to be in, since it's his first one, I think it's going to be very glitzy. I think we're going to be in like Paris. Ooh. I think we're going to be in maybe even drop to, I'm going to say Brazil.
Aye.
Could be kind of fun.
Love it.
And then I'm going to give it a rough, we've been giving some estimations on how many objects of transportation or an item of transportation. I do think he's going to be in a hot air balloon.
One mode of transport?
No, I'm not going to guess a number, but I will say that one of them will be a hot air balloon.
Okay.
I'll say it's over five, but I feel like it's always over five.
I'm going to see if I can make some guesses, not about the plot of this movie, because okay. I do know what happens, but I'm going to say there's going to be six different modes of transportation.
Okay.
I think Bond is going to be introduced. Oh, wait. Okay. One of the articles, because we were trying to get a special Bond-themed drink to have while we were watching this movie, we ended
big
up...
Big deep dive.
Yeah. Did a deep dive. Turns out he drinks a lot of yucky stuff. He's just like a full glass of Campari neat. That's like so sugary. One of the drinks was Campari and like milk.
Which movie was that?
I think it was in the books. There's a lot of stuff in the books that I don't think could make it on screen. Like
Anne was up to no good.
It's called like a Black Velvet, which is just a pint of Guinness and champagne.
Who
like
ever?
A dark and stormy, but
oh my god,
no, it's absolute garbage.
But would any bubbles appear in a Guinness?
If you write that down, like, think about, like, Bond also he eats a fuck ton of crab in the books. Mm. So James Bond was just munching down on crab and drinking a black velvet. And you're like, oh my God, that sounds so hot. And then it's like, imagine a guy at a Long John Silver's with a thing of Guinness he poured some wine into.
Yep.
And he's just like, just dribbling saliva down his chin and crab legs. Disgusting.
That reminds me of listening to what a New York 75 is, or what is that drink?
Oh, a New York sour.
Yeah.
Which is just a good drink, a whiskey sour, and then red wine on top. Get the, hey, this is a quick memo to all bartenders. Get wine out of cocktails. Just get it out.
Unless we're going to be doing a spritz.
No. All inclusive.
Right. Prosecco, do you include bubbly when you say wine?
No.
I think red wine should not be in a single cocktail.
Yes.
I will take that.
Yeah. Red wine. Mm-hmm. Do a dirty Shirley, but instead of grenadine, it's red wine.
Yeah, I think beer, out of there.
Yes.
Unless you're putting it in a margarita. Actually, I still wouldn't do that. But those are kind of fun when you get a Corona-rita.
I don't go to the places you go to. I go to fine dining establishments.
You've been to an El Toro?
No, I go order my black velvet at Long John Silver's and eat and drink in peace. We're going to watch GoldenEye. We're going to get a little bit more shaken, a little bit more stirred, and we're going to come back and tell you what we think about our boy, Pierce Brosnan's first performance.
Is he going to sound Irish in this?
I think he's going to do Mamma Mia songs for sure.
I wish.
We'll let you know what we think. All right, we're back.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
That was a movie.
That was, yeah.
We didn't once look at each other and say, sorry, do you know what's going on right now? And that's the first time yet.
Wait, okay. No, that's a good point.
Right?
We kind of, from beginning to end, I was like, yes. What is happening next, I expect and I want to happen.
I wasn't surprised that we suddenly were in a different country for the last 30 minutes of the movie, which happens in every single one. But usually I'm like, why are we here?
Yeah.
But this one
made sense.
They told you why we were going to be there.
They had a reason to do it. We just watched 1995's GoldenEye, our first movie with Pierce Brosnan as James Bond. Obviously, the people making Bond wanted Pierce so bad.
And I get it.
Tell me what you think.
My first note is, in all caps, he's so hot.
Yeah, no, he's incredibly good looking. I said, like, what do you like about him in a tone that didn't make you think that I'm so rowdy for this guy. He is woofty-goofty. Mm-hmm. What a good-looking man.
Truly, he's capable.
He's capable. He's a good Bond.
Mm-hmm. Even from the first time he shot his gun in the little intro thing before it has the first part of the movie, like,
ooh.
You're like, oh, that was a gunshot.
The intro, okay, so what we're talking about is the intro. It's the gun barrel sequence.
Yeah.
Every movie has it just about where, like, it's the barrel of a gun. It's the famous one. Pans over.
Bleeds down.
James Bond, yeah, walks out, shoots, blood. This is the first one where he meant it.
Literally.
Normally, they're doing, like, a fruity little fruity. normally, these men are doing a little, oh, my God. I didn't mean it in that.
No, me, I know.
It just kind of, it feels a little flirtatious.
Yeah.
A little like, hey, boom.
that does not argue against the three.
No, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right.
I know you didn't mean it that way, but I'm loving it.
Yeah.
From start. No, but it's like the very first time we ever see it, it's not actually Bond. It's like some stunt guy.
Stunt guy.
And then we always said, why does this just look like some guy who just has
some
to
guy in a hat?
Literally. It just looked like he kind of ran into a PI on the street and he happens to shoot you. This one was a spy.
Okay. Speaking of Bond's hat, because Bond's hat's always in the gun barrel sequence, and we only ever see Bond wear a hat when he throws his hat on the rack in Moneypenny's, like, office.
Mm-hmm.
He never wears a hat outside of that.
It's all the off days.
He just wears a hat to throw it on Moneypenny's coat rack.
Connery kind. No. Yeah.
Find me a time.
No.
One of the marks of a Sean Connery villain was that he famously wore hats. It was Odd Job. That was his whole thing. He's like, well, it couldn't be James Bond. He's not wearing a hat.
He wasn't wearing a hat for himself.
We digress. Every time I want to say Pierce Brosnan, my brain says Rudyard Kipling. Does that happen to you?
Who is that?
He's like a famous author. I don't know what. It's
no.
Pierce Brosnan is also bringing back the hairy chest Bond. I love it. I want more of it. He has a little bit of Sean Connery.
Definitely.
And a little bit of Roger Moore and a lot of Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
In a way that is, I think, a lot more palatable for audiences, especially in the 90s, as a 90s baby myself.
Oh, for sure. I know this 95 film because I was
born in 97. Yeah.
I was almost thought about it that year. So that's why.
It's like, yeah, it's like when you like play music to plants or something, it helps the plants grow. Like, I'm sure a year before I was conceived, my yep. dad was watching this movie.
Yeah. This is actually what got them in the mood.
The Oz. Well, hey, this movie. Let's talk about this movie.
Give us the plot.
I'll give you the plot. We open in Russia. It's James Bond bungee jumps off a giant dam.
Epic.
Gets to the bottom. His bungee wasn't enough to get him all the way down. So then he uses a grappling hook to get him the rest of the way.
A lot of rope.
That grappling hook also has a laser on it.
Not enough rope.
Cuts his way in. It's like then we get like the title card of like it's some Russian chemical facility. He breaks in. He sneaks around. Somebody catches him. They hold him at gunpoint. Who's that? It's Sean Bean as 006. And they're like, oh,
that's Ned Stark.
Best friends. Ned Stark. Game of Thrones fans know. Sean Bean fans know that he dies in every movie he's in.
Yeah.
So.
He did an epic death.
It wasn't going to bode well for him.
I immediately called him. He was going to be a bad guy because I said he was too pretty.
The quote, and I wrote it down, is he has a clean cut face. That means he's going to be a bad guy, which I guess is like just he's too good looking to be just a good. Which is funny because traditionally James Bond villains have some kind of deformity, which he gets in this opening.
They made sure it was clear. They were like, good and bad.
He's evil now because he's deformed.
Just usually when they have somebody that you bond with that early on, that's like prettier than the main character.
Something's going to happen.
Like, there's no way. James Bond's supposed to be the hottest. Anybody else, obviously.
I wish they would have told Timothy Dalton that because he is being outclassed in every movie.
Or Roger Moore. Like, they were just hoping he was going to show up for filming.
Oh, are we doing another movie? Oh, great.
He was like, yeah. Show up.
My nurses said I could hold the gun again. So we're in this chemical facility, 006 and 007. They get in, they're rigging it to explode, and then 006 gets caught by the Russians and just summarily executed.
Right away.
I looked up
for a second and he was dead.
Yeah. Alex looked at her phone and I said, wait. And then she looks up and they don't show his dead body again. Mm-mm. So she's like, what happened?
Yep.
He died. He got just straight
axed.
Up glocked. And then James Bond has an immediate comedic moment, which is so tough because we're supposed to feel, obviously, like James Bond is grappling with the death of his coworker, his fellow agent. It's weird to think
his
that they're coworkers for the rest of the movie.
Comrade, if you will.
His comrade, commander's comrade, after he gets executed, James Bond just kind of does a slow walk out of the room with this squeaky, like, cart full of gas
tank
that they won't shoot at because they don't want to blow it up. But he's just like,
That Russian guy looks at him and he's like, nice. That's actually a great idea.
General Rav or something like that. Yeah. Whoever that guy is, he comes back.
Sounds like Romanov, but there's a O at the beginning.
Too many. I'd like to buy a vowel.
I think it's like Umarov. Yeah.
He looks at Pierce Brosnan every time Pierce Brosnan does something heroic, like, all right, I like this kid.
It's like, that's a really spry.
This guy's up to some cool stuff. I like it.
So working for him.
Jimmy escapes. He, causes a catastrophe. The explosion starts to happen. And he is on a runway chase to catch a plane as it's taking off a cliff. And he chases down on a bike, drives the bike off the cliff after the plane. Skydives into the plane, takes the plane, takes off. It's amazing. All before the title sequence. The Russian general, as he's skydiving to catch this plane, looks at him like, what a guy. Fuck, I love this guy. He's so cool.
I hope I see him again.
And then we get the title sequence. What were your thoughts on the title sequence?
There was one part that I actually made me viscerally uncomfortable, which I don't think I've really had.
I wrote that down too.
Opening. There was, you get a point where, well, the whole theme was guns, gold, dancing women. Nothing unusual.
Soviet Union,
which they really beat over your head. We have been dealing with Russia since the third movie.
But these are movie. From Russia with love.
Literally.
Like this is the really Russian one.
You have Lenin statues falling. You've got literally a woman hammering on top of a sickle.
Yep.
But also you have a double-sided head
of a woman that has a gun exiting and entering her mouth that then turns into a cigar. I'd rather die than see that again.
It was, my notes say, yucky gun mouth. What? It was so gross and weird. For most of these, the best songs have the wackest title sequences.
Definitely.
But.
Great song.
Except for Goldfinger. Goldfinger nailed both of them. This one had a great song.
Mm-hmm. Tina Turner.
It was Tina Turner, written by Bono and The Edge from U2.
Crazy.
It was crazy, but it was really good. Can you remember how it goes? Cool.
Well, she has a really good note where she hits Goldeneye in the end.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah, me neither.
Goldfinger.
I keep thinking of Goldfinger. Damn it.
It's tough that you already have a movie that sounds exactly like this one.
Golden. Okay. Yeah. What's Golden Ear is next? What other appendages? Golden Toes? Twinkle Toes? It's Goldfinger, Goldeneye, Man with the
Golden Nose.
This is our third golden James Bond movie with our third Bond dealing with it.
Can't have too much gold.
That's true. But that's the title sequence. We cut to 9 years later, which is, I think, the only significant time jump we've had in a James Bond movie. Normally, everything kind of just happens in the span of like a week.
Yeah, they do like the time jumps like the next film.
Yeah.
Like, that's about it.
This is 9 years later. Pierce Brosnan looks exactly the same. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is driving in his Aston Martin DB9, DB7. He's driving in his Aston Martin.
Yep.
And he's with his psychiatrist who is sent there to evaluate him. It feels like sent there to evaluate him about losing 006.
Yep.
But it's 9 years later.
Yeah, they don't say that. I just thought he was just like hanging with her as like a normal routine thing.
Everybody's kind of like talking around the 006 thing like it's fresh and like it traumatized him. But it was 9 years.
Yeah. Which was he not working at that time?
Yeah. Like, what happened?
Did he just like literally not?
It feels
maybe he just took a long vacation for 9 years.
Odd that they're bringing that up this far, but he's with the psychological evaluator.
What one movie does that mean did not happen? Does that mean Timothy Dalton didn't exist?
Almost exactly. Yeah, it literally is A View to a Kill 1 year later, Pierce Brosnan, and that's funny. Yeah, this erases Timothy Dalton from the timeline. But he's driving around in his car, and then a beautiful woman in a Ferrari pulls up behind him. We later find out this is, oh my God.
Yeah, I would not describe her as a beautiful woman.
No. I wrote down she looks like the 2005 Willy Wonka with Johnny Depp. She is like a pale monster. She's so frightening. Ooh. And something about like her red lipstick and the red Ferrari really accentuate the fact that like her face is in black and white.
They made her like paler for some reason in a way that was
haunting.
Yeah. I don't know if that was supposed to be the quote unquote Russian look for them, but I didn't like it.
I didn't like it. I didn't like her. She's very scary to me throughout the whole movie. Played by Famke Janssen, Jean Grey in the X-Men franchise. She was also in Taken.
Incredible.
As Alex screamed when told her who it was.
Well, because Jean Grey fucking sucks.
So Xenia Onatopp pulls up next to them and they have a car chase, like a fun, spirited drive. James Bond, his psychiatrist is like, I don't like fast driving as much as the next girl. Who's that? And James goes, oh, that's the next girl. And I'm like, whoa. And then they do a little soundtracking. Their very cool sports car race is the worst music ever to be put to screen.
Yeah, suddenly we entered like Catch Me If You Can. I don't know.
I think it reminded me of like a funk track from a 2000s math computer game.
Hell yeah.
Isle of the Zumbinis. Is that anything to you?
Hell yeah.
It was so, it's like we're playing Frog Fractions for a second.
No, definitely.
And they're just driving down. That was
cool math games.
Coolmathgames.com sponsors this car chase. Car chase is great. Then whatever, they drive away and then James pulls over and the psychiatrist is thoroughly freaked out, I guess, from the car chase. And he's like, I have champagne in my car and you look emotionally available.
Panties dropped.
They go for it. Later, James Bond goes to a casino, finds Xenia Onatopp there, follows her out. She goes home with a Canadian admiral, sex murders him.
Yep. Strangles him with her legs as they're fucking, like, from around his stomach. I've never seen a stomach choking like that, which means she has actual thighs of steel.
It's because I know, listen, I'm not an anatomist, a doctor even. And
any of them.
Any of them. Anybody who's qualified to speak on this. But
yeah,
I did.
Anyone who's looked at a body.
I did have a kidney infection when I was 7. And I feel like, listen, the pain that he probably experienced in his kidney is a lot like what I went through.
Oh, for sure.
It was so difficult.
It's like passing a kidney stone.
But then he died, which is different from me.
Yeah, you almost did that.
Stronger than that. Yeah. And I was 7, so it was less sexual. But yeah. Where's the heart in your body?
I'm sorry?
You know where it is. It's above your waist. If you're cutting off circulation at the waist, that doesn't like cut off blood flow to your head or your heart.
No, but it's true. I mean, it's like the squeezing of it. Like, I don't know. Someone just gets at your sides real, real hard.
She's a living python.
Expand like your rib cage.
Just can't breathe. Oh, you can't breathe. Your lungs are in the...
So she choked him.
Okay.
That's what I said.
But around... choked him around the chest.
Yeah, it was crazy. No, not the chest. It was like...
Oh, I'm dying.
And what I pointed to was lower rib.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She kills this Canadian admiral and then uses his credentials to steal a stealth helicopter. Special thing about this helicopter is that it's immune to EMP blasts.
And that's a thing that exists.
Which, yeah, you know... pretty cool. I love the movie is like, we've never heard of an EMP before. But anyways, we made this EMP proof helicopter just in case.
Literally.
That's like if I was like, I made a knife that kills Zubats. And everyone's like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, well, you haven't seen it yet. But it's, I think that's a Pokemon, actually.
I mean, that's how they set up a fucking optic fiber. They were like, what if we made optic fiber like areas to like set that up? And everyone was like, what's the internet? I'm like, just you wait. This glass is going to be fucking sick when the internet happens.
Forgot about glass facts with Alex Doherty. You went to a glass museum and learned so much.
We're not anywhere in this movie.
God, no. Oh, my God.
Okay so he meets Jimmy Dent. Epic.
Yes.
He goes to work.
No, the satellite station.
Fuck.
Okay.
Yeah.
They steal the helicopter. They go to the satellite station in Russia. Satellite station is in charge of the GoldenEye EMP satellite. Perfect. Glad they have this helicopter.
Yep.
The Russian general from the cold open and Zenya Onatopp go in. They kill everybody, but they miss 2 people, as far as we know.
Yeah.
And then they use the EMP blast to blow up the satellite. So as far as the rest of the world knows, oh no, we lost control of this weapon of mass destruction, but it kind of blew itself up. So we don't really care as much. Cut back to MI6. James Bond is investigating this, and we meet our new He's investigating this, and we meet our new M, the best M to ever exist.
Like, literally.
Dame Judy.
The only capable person. And everyone's more capable.
She's...
except for Q, who has always been cashing in his check.
Yes. Dame Judy Dench is in a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
She
repelled us.
She is silly. Oh, my God. We both sat in, like, silence, mouth agape. She shows up, and she's like, I know you think I'm, like, a numbers person. I know you think I'm way too serious. I think you're a fucking sexist, misogynist dinosaur.
James Bond. Right to his face.
I wrote it down. If you're a sexist, misogynist dinosaur, and I have no compunction about sending you to your death.
Mm-hmm.
Go off.
Literally.
She is that. That's why she's Dame Judy Dench, and all these people are just Pierce.
Genuinely. She was like, I won't send you off on a whim, but I will kill you.
I will kill
you. That's my job.
I'll take care. Mm-hmm. I'll say, if you die on something I care about, fine by me.
Literally.
Oh my God, she's so good.
When she calls him out, he's like, yeah, I get it. She's like, no, you actually don't. And that may rip you to shreds some more. And it's just like, okay.
Okay. Sure. So he goes.
Remember that psychiatrist? I hate you.
She does send him off on this mission to go investigate the satellite. And before that, we have a great Q scene. Desmond Llewellyn still kicking as Q. His hands are frankly too big.
I'm not prepped for when he dies. I'm going to be honest.
I don't know what movie he dies in.
But he dies on the job.
Yes. He dies the year he makes a movie. So
that's tough.
He does not make it to Daniel Craig, for sure, for sure. But this guy's his hands are the size of Pierce Brosnan's whole head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw a picture of King Charles's hands recently. It's kind of the same thing. I wonder if it's like an old British hand thing.
It feels like if you have a lot of sodium in you. I don't know why.
I believe it.
Right?
Well, something about it. His hands are like a corpse they find at sea.
Definitely.
There's something terrible about it.
He manhandles a sub, and by manhandles, like he just has a sub sandwich.
Yeah, sub sandwich.
Grabs it by the middle, like with his whole fucking fist. Oh. And just can't holding it. And that thing looked huge in Pierce's hands. Not in those
bunkers. No, it was just like, it was a one bite sandwich for him. Mm-hmm. We meet Q. He's in a wheelchair with a cast, and James is like, oh no, I'm sorry about your leg. Q shoots a rocket out of the cast and stands up and walks away because he's so good at gadgets. Hey, that whole scene is just a circus of wild shit. Everything in that scene, like we're talking between James Wan and Q. So far, it's been like a decently serious movie. And then the whole Q sequence, people are like in the background getting into phone booths with like airbags exploding in them. It was so zany. Mm-hmm. It felt like Get Smart.
Yeah, we were laughing out loud.
Yeah, it was a great little funny scene.
It did feel like Get Smart.
God, I love Get Smart. Yeah, that's my note is Q has a circus of wild shit going on, comma, so zany.
Truly.
Then Bond is sent to St. Petersburg. He's got to find out what happened to the GoldenEye satellite. He meets Jack Wade, our Felix Leiter stand-in. He's a Southern CIA guy.
He's a lot like that one America that they had in the early movies where he was fucking everything up.
Oh, the Louisiana guy?
Yeah.
And Live and Let Die. Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of him.
Mm-hmm. That guy was crazy.
Like, he didn't want to use any code names. This, like, new Jack Wade. He was like, yeah, we just show up. America. Big Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of epic.
James Bond is just kind of rolling through St. Petersburg. Goes to a bathhouse. Here's what I was confused about. I don't remember him having a reason to go to the bathhouse other than to take a bath. Did he just kind of want to take a bath?
No, I think he was supposed to find those people on the top.
Yeah.
Because they thought the man that he met way back in the day, Omarov, was like so crazy Russian that he would never be a traitor. So actually you should work with them to find the traitor that probably blew the thing up, and he's besties with all. Like he had the right guys, but he thought they were like so good at Russia that they would try to kill Russia.
Okay.
It was my understanding.
No, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I get that.
Anyway,
I don't know why that translates to him going to a bathhouse, but
I think he was trying to find her there and she was there.
Oh, okay. He's kind of swimming around in a bathhouse and then goes into the steam room.
Interested killer.
Xenia's there and they have like a sex fight and then he puts her butt on the sauna stones and burns her and then truly yeets her like over his head like a sack of potatoes.
Genuinely.
I hope it was a dummy that he threw. It was bananas.
It's not going to be a person.
Then he's like, you're going to take me to your leader right now. And she's like, ugh, fine. She drives him there. He karate chops her, bringing back the big, slow-moving karate chop.
Mm-hmm.
Knocks her out. He gets out. It's like a big Soviet statue graveyard.
Bringing us back to the title sequence.
And this is when we meet 006.
Actually, Jonas.
Yes.
Who's the bad guy?
Yeah.
Where did we find Jonas's name?
So, Janice. I didn't
know that Onatop worked for him. You know what? We don't even think about it.
Okay. Wait. I do know. I know the answer to all of this. She drives him. He's like, take me to your leader. She drives him there. He gets out. And it was the Janice Syndicate is who Bond was looking for this whole time. So he knew whoever was at the top is named Janice. No one had ever seen him.
But how did he know?
But they'd seen Onatopp. So it's like they're a team. So he gets to the graveyard. 006 walks out with a burned face. Looks exactly like Two-Face from Batman. And literally Janice is the Roman Two-Face god. So it feels very Batman.
It's incredibly Batman.
It's great. He's in like some weird gothic place like Gotham. It's so Batman.
Everyone's like in all black trench coats suddenly.
He's there. He's just like, hey, you left me to die. And James is like, well, I saw you get shot to death. Like,
I thought you were fully dead.
He has no reason to blame James Bond because James saw him get executed.
Yeah. Like, we saw his body.
That flabbergasts me.
His whole thing was like, you set the bomb for 6 minutes or 3 minutes instead of 6 minutes. So you killed me. But he's like, no, I just knew I could get out in 3 minutes instead of six because you were dead.
You were dead.
And it was just me.
You got shot. You got shot in front of my eyes.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry I didn't think you were alive. Shot.
That was crazy. And then Janice ends up getting Bond knocked out with a tranquilizer dart. captured. He is put in the stealth chopper from earlier in the movie with Natalia. We haven't really explained Natalia, I guess. She is the Russian scientist who, not scientist, hacker, who escaped.
Pro plant grammar.
Yeah, level 2 programmer. Mm-hmm. Who escaped the GoldenEye satellite program initially. But they're put in the helicopter together. This is the second time in the movie where a missile launcher blows up its own launcher, which is like kind of a wild choice. But they're in there. They hit the ejecto seat.
Ouchie.
My cat clawed me. Hit the ejector seat. What a little menace. They escape. They're safe and sound.
Mm-hmm.
James Bond drops the worst Bond quip of the movie, is the things we do for frequent flyer miles.
Awful.
Terrible. They get captured by the Russians, but like the good Russians this time. This is like the Russians who didn't go rogue.
Yeah.
Capture them. They're taken to jail and they're being interrogated, and they end up being like filling in the Russians on what's happening on their home turf. The evil Russian comes in, kills everybody, takes them back. Then there's a big tank chase. There's a laser watch.
We're back to hunting Jonas.
We're hunting 006. Turns out he's in Cuba. We go to Cuba. Natalia took this chance as like a vacation. She was very excited.
No, she is the only one who knows how to disarm the bomb.
Right. And so she's like, I'll go with you to Cuba. But she packed a swimsuit and she's like really excited about it. Which,
yeah, sure.
It's kind of funny.
Her goal was to disarm a bomb, but also show James Bond the power of love and laughter.
They are so cute together.
They are really cute.
Very natural, crazy cute. Love
it. They had some great little quips.
There's a huge showdown on this giant satellite dish in Cuba that is going to send the second GoldenEye satellite. And then James Bond kills 006 in a pretty hardcore way.
Mm-hmm.
The movie ends. James Bond's hooking up. The Marines show up to save the day way after the day's been saved.
And we make it clear that they weren't supposed to be there.
GoldenEye.
Da-da-da.
Alex, what are your highlights and lowlights from the movie?
Highlights would definitely be, this one felt very entertaining. I was fully engrossed the whole time. The storyline made sense to me. I feel
big
like,
deal.
Like that was really a big one.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of, I feel like the movie was shorter. Don't know if it actually was, but
it was 2 hours and 10 minutes.
So it wasn't at all,
no.
Actually.
One of the longer ones.
But there was something about it where I feel like in the previous movies, you get a lot of like background information on stuff you don't care about. But this one was like a lot of stuff you did care about.
What do you mean? Like the whole 40 minutes about lepidoptery and genealogy from On Her Majesty's Secret Service?
It's just so much.
When you're explaining geology to lord or a lady of a certain country, well, you need to do this. This was really just like, there's a bomb. Let's go defuse it. Great. All right. Mm-hmm. There's a satellite. Let's go fight the satellite.
Yeah, he didn't feel like he needed to prove that he knew like whatever location he was going to, or we have to have a little moment where he's like, well, I know the cult. Like he just like kind of does stuff to show that he's like an international man. That's when it was like, no, I come to do spy stuff. And then so I will arrive to do spy stuff. And that was a highlight for me.
He was capable. I like Pierce Brosnan,
mm-hmm.
and just in general. I think he was doing some good stuff.
The cast was really powerful. We recognized a ton of them. Alan Cumming was the one of the guys that
was a hacker, hacker, which I wrote down. He was like the Nedry character in Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who like steals all the dinosaur DNA, and he was just like made the hacking program or whatever. It feels very... It was like that. He was like, the password's tits. Like, I hacked you again. I like that. Highlight for me was the tank chase, honestly.
Oh, yep.
James Bond steals a tank when they're in St. Petersburg and just absolutely runs rampant through the streets. But he was just drifting that hoe. He was Tokyo drifting this tank, St. Petersburg drifting this tank.
With a statue on it
point. That was a little too zany.
Yeah.
But everything else, I was like, I love this. He is just so hardcore. He parks the tank on the train tracks to derail the train. He's like rolling through. He's destroying all of Russia. He's the least secret agent.
Yeah, no, he makes up Russian everywhere.
He caused an absolute international incident. He caused more damage to St. Petersburg than there maybe has ever been.
But, you know, it's fine.
It was great.
He was actually while doing it. He at one point adjusts his tie while riding that tank.
Ooh.
It was pretty hot.
Big highlight for me, Dame Judi Dench. I mean, we talked about this already, but like, goodness gracious. She's so talented. She's so, I mean, like, this is an Oscar-winning actor that is just here.
Literally.
She's giving it gravitas. She's making it serious. Like, the other, the previous M basically showed up to be like, oh, you silly goose, you have to serve England.
He never had a pulse on what Bond was up to. Like, he was always like, oh, no. Where'd he go?
He was always getting bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
He was always like, James Bond's fucking someone again? Damn it.
Ah.
This was like, I'm going to send you to your death, and I want you to know I don't care if you come back.
Literally. And I know you fuck. And
I know you fuck. I need you to just do your goddamn job.
Mm-hmm.
You were in a workplace.
Literally.
Do your job.
Yeah, there was a lot of like old world, new world in terms of spying, because we're like in a post-Cold War era, which...
There's a lot of references to the past Bond movies, too.
Yeah. I feel like they didn't always land it, but I feel like Judi Dench did. But, like, any of the times it was mentioned, it was like, what? Yeah. That would be a low light for me. I feel like they were really trying to say a lot in terms of that, but it was still the same James Bond doing the same stuff as before. Like, nothing he did was different except he fucked less women.
Speaking of women he fucked, our Bond girl, oof, that's a tough transition. I liked.
It was a highlight, though.
She was really good. She was very capable. I wrote down, we love women in STEM.
Literally.
She was a hacker. She was brilliant. She was, like, giving him a lot of guff, which was good.
She was yelling at him all the time if he was slacking.
Oh, my God. She was like, well, every time they got out of some near-death scrape, she's like, well, I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, he would just not give a shit.
No. And she was calling him on that, which was great. She's kind of hot. She takes the lead. She's good.
Definitely.
I agree. Oh, they were so cute, too. There was some genuine laughter. She's like, I'm not getting into a plane or a boat or a car or a train with you, dog. You blow up everything you get into.
And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. True. She wanted no part of him.
Right? She was like, why don't you just, like, feel something? So much so that we thought she was going to die just from the fact that she was making such a good impression on him. But no.
That's true. That's so grim. We're like, she's too good. She has to die.
Like, there's no way this is going to work out.
I also have, I mean, I think you really like this movie because one of the quotes I have from you while we're watching it is, this is already so much better because they're actors, which is... just
tough.
An absolute condemnation of all of the previous James Bond movies we've watched.
No, but I feel like what they did for a lot of it was get people that were pretty first and then could act later.
George Lazenby was a model.
Yeah, so much so that they would just voice over people and just because they're like, no, we can figure it out. Like, we'll have somebody else do the speaking for you. And this one was like, no, I recognize almost everyone from something. Like, we have people who are still involved in the industry. Granted, we are in the 90s, but that was kind of fun.
No, that's true. We're kind of getting into our era, I guess, of things that are recognizable to us.
I'll say lowlight was just, I feel like characters kind of disappeared for a bit and then appeared. And then, like, the main bad guy was really great. And then all of a sudden he became a drunk in the course of one single fight.
The Russian general guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was very menacing. He was kind of flirty. He was great. And then, he was just hugging vodka during the tank chase.
Then he died.
Then he died.
That was it. They're like, actually, we have a new villain now. So what if you just forget about the...
We have a new, more charismatic villain.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to write you out of this. Yeah, that was a good... Low light for me, kind of going on with that, like, this is the 90s James Bond. It's in a weird era. I think weird era for me specifically of, like, I forgive a lot of the weirdness of the earlier Bond movies. Because I'm so fascinated by the time period of like, whoa, this is what it must have been like to go to Japan in the 60s. Or like, this is like, it feels like this exotic travel thing of like, what, this globe-trotting adventure before we had the internet so everyone could just Google what other places were like.
Yeah.
And it's like this amazing thing. This one is like, oh yeah, I kind of get it. Like, it's the 90s, you know, people just kind of go wherever they want and do whatever. Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, super, like, big on the location you were going to. You didn't see areas of it or festivals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The earlier ones are such a tourism documentary. And this was, like, it's St. Petersburg, but we destroyed it. And it's Cuba, maybe, but mostly just a jungle.
You didn't thank any country at the end of the movie, which is how you know.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you to the tourism board.
Literally.
Yeah, that's a good point. Another low light for me, also with the weird time period, is this is right between practical and CGI.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of really good practical stuff. And then when CGI took over, you could really tell.
Yeah.
Like it was harder to blend it like you can. Definitely. In the newer movies, like all the shots of the GoldenEye satellite took me way out of the movie. I was like, they shot this for a 70s Bond movie and then like reuse the footage in this.
Yeah, you gotta just stick with the puppets, like for that kind of shit.
Yeah, it was really funky.
Mm-hmm.
Also, didn't like the Bond car being just a kind of ugly BMW. I know that there's another Bond BMW in a Pierce Brosnan thing, so I wonder if it was a sponsorship.
Ooh.
Because they like made a point of saying it's a BMW, the best car.
There was some heavy sponsorship. The fact that
the Perrier truck.
Fucking Jack Daniels bottle just sitting straight in the back.
Like, there was a lot going on.
Another low light for me was I feel like I don't know if they just wanted to save all their blood and gore for the last fight that happened in this movie, but there'd be points where James Bond was literally slamming his head up against a control panel as well as an emergency eject button. And just like not a single thing was wrong with him. He wasn't dirty at all when he was in a like tank going through like bridges. Like, I don't think he got dirty until the last probably 30 minutes of the movie.
No one
which gets, I thought was weird.
No one gets dirty until Daniel Craig.
That's
those fair. Are the rules.
That's fair.
Daniel Craig is the Bond who bleeds. He's the one that actually feels what's happening.
Yeah, he's sweaty.
Low light for me. There's a scene when Natalia's trying to explain what she went through at the GoldenEye satellite explosion, and James Bond cuts her off by saying, go on. And that it was just the craziest, like, say something.
Just, hi.
Go on.
She was like, well, they all died, and then kind of cut herself off because she was emotional about the death. And was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Faster. Tell me more. Like,
do you think I care about your coworkers?
He interrupts her to tell her to keep talking. It is the most insane shit. Obviously, the Cool Math Game song I thought was terrible. But yeah. Overall, this movie's pretty dead.
This movie made me say out loud, I think we might need to adjust how we rate other movies.
Wow.
It's like, you know, we were already giving stuff eights. So what is this going to be? And does that mean all Craigs are going to be tens? Like, what it makes? Where do we go?
I think overall more critical. I don't know.
Right? I think the previous ones need to go like more heavy for fives.
Easy, Tiger.
I know.
Let's talk about Bond things. Because there's stuff in this. This definitely modernizes the Bond thing. I think this
is solidifies like, a lot of the tropes too.
Yeah, of like he has the Aston Martin. He has the gadget. Yeah,
I've recognized like, a car before.
It felt like a big, I don't know. They've had enough in the past. And I think each one was so close to the other one that they were trying to reinvented a little bit. And then with the 90s comes the idea of like nostalgia, and cinema's pretty good. Like we can kind of wink at stuff.
Yep. And you were saying this was the longest gap between them. So I imagine they were trying to like really
bring
push
back
it.
The magic.
Mm-hmm.
Remind like you. I don't know if this is a Bond moment, but this is something that I'm just obsessed with. This is I love the Godzilla movies as well. Mm-hmm. And one of the funniest things in a Godzilla movie is when Godzilla sneaks up on people. And James Bond in this fucking like 20-ton tank sneaks up on so many people.
Mm-hmm.
When he's like about to derail the train, he like slowly edges the tank out of a dark tunnel. And it's like, it's so funny.
It reminds me of something I can't even think about what it is.
It's Godzilla for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Giant force of destruction that is like the size of a building.
Yep.
Somehow like snuck up.
And it made it look like a person because it was just like you don't see Pierce at all, but it's like the face of a tank.
Uh-huh.
Like,
this movie felt like a couple other movies. I compared it a little bit to Doctor Who in the way that he's just kind of like, he's the smartest man in the room. He's running around with his companion, you know, like just trying to get them from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And then the companion will sometimes be like, oh, I have a special skill that comes in handy that you don't have.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, I'm amazed that she can hack.
I'll keep you around forever.
The other thing that you said that I agree with is Indiana Jones Last Crusade.
Lots of references.
So a lot of Indiana Jones energy in this one. And it's also Last Crusade was 89. With Sean Connery. So there's vibes there.
Say a classic Bond moment for me would be, oh my God, we did not talk about the Monty Penny scene.
Highlight, 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 highlight.
I've never experienced sexual tension like that in one of these movies, I feel.
No.
And we had just had a young Monty Penny in the previous movie. And this one, regular aged, great. And gave him everything right back. This is right before he was called a misogynist, which makes it even better. But he was like, oh, something about like, God, I don't remember the setup. All I wrote was, James, you've never had me.
Okay, no, she's like dressed really nice. He mm-hmm. sees Moneypenny. She looks beautiful. She's in like an evening gown. And he's like, Moneypenny, you didn't have to get dressed up to see me. And she's like, well, you'd be surprised, James, but I was actually on a date with a man outside of this. And he's just like, oh, Moneypenny, like, I wish you'd save yourself for me or something something along those lines.
Like, how could you do this to me?
How could you do this to me? And she's like, oh, if I recall, you've never had me. And then it's inches away from each other, dripping intention.
Mm.
Actually, honestly, the highlight for me of the whole movie was just that like 10-minute MI6 bit.
Yeah.
Of including Q scene. I think there's three movies in this movie. There's the MI6 with Moneypenny and Judi Dench.
Yep.
There's the MI6 with Q, and there's everything else that happens in the movie.
Yep.
And it's like the MI6 with Judi Dench and Moneypenny, that's Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
That's like a serious, sexy, interesting movie. They have like a map analyst guy who's like running around all frantic, like a Bourne movie. Like,
yeah.
It's serious. And then Q is just like, get smart. And then the rest of the movie is like another James Bond movie.
Yeah.
But it was, it was so good.
Oh, good.
Oh my God. I love that.
And she pretty much said, like, you know, if you're going to keep saying this shit, you should just fuck me. And then the scene ends. And you're like, wow.
Wow.
How did I get here?
Woof.
This is incredible.
My favorite Bond moment is not necessarily a Bond moment, but I think it's like, it's riding off the coattails of Timothy Dalton leading us to Daniel Craig of, there's this kind of repeated quote that keeps happening between 006 and 007, where 006 is like, we did everything for England, James. And at the end, there's a big fight on this radio telescope, and James Bond is holding 006 by the hand, or no, by the foot. He's dangling to his death. And
he catches him.
Yeah, 006 is like, clearly you're going to kill me. And he goes, for England, James? And Bond goes, no, for me. And just drops him.
It's so hardcore.
It's so hardcore. But then I think, this was interesting. He falls like 20 stories.
If even, like much higher, it looked like to me.
He lands, survives,
mm-hmm.
and then gets crushed by the radio telescope. And I wonder if they were like, we can't have Bond like truly murder him like that. It has to be like
outside forces.
It's kind of like Batman doesn't kill anybody, but he definitely like paralyzes them.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt a little bit like that. This is a Batman movie.
You know what? I think it might actually.
It might just be a Batman movie.
Like just with a little bit less like gruffness. Another iconic line between those two would definitely be where James Bond is seeing him for the first time, that he's like, after he realizes he's not dead, and the guy's like, well, James goes, am I supposed to feel bad for you? And he goes, no, you're supposed to die for me.
Ooh.
Like that felt very Goldfinger.
Does feel very Goldfinger. I expect you to die.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to like about this movie. One thing I liked is all the exciting characters. Alex, is there a character in this movie that you think deserves their own spin-off film?
I would have to say, I'd like to give it away to Moneypenny this time. I know she's always in it, but I feel like that's one.
No, this Moneypenny, insane.
Right? I want to see her off her job. I want to see her at her job. I want to see her interacting with M. I want to see it all.
I want to see her in her Fleabag era. Like, she is just killing it.
I'm imagining that she's just a fucking mess outside of work, and I would love to see it.
There's maybe no better character than Moneypenny. It's got to be Judi Dench for me, though.
Yep.
The only character I can think of better than Moneypenny is
the strongest woman.
Judi Dench is M, because they make it apparent that she's new. So mm-hmm. they're kind of like,
part of the new wave of like
business.
Like,
yeah. Like it's all numbers based or mm-hmm. whatever. They're like, she's an accountant, but she's so hardcore. I want to see, how did she get here? It's obviously a male-dominated industry.
Yeah.
What's her origin story? How did she rise through the ranks to be the head of British Secret Service?
Mm-hmm.
She's incredible.
Definitely.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
Alex, what would you rate this movie? Now that this movie apparently defies ratings
for you.
Oh, no, it doesn't defy it. Just changes everything I've ever known.
Okay.
No.
I would say that this one, I'm going to give it a solid 8.5.
8.5?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That either ties or matches up with your highest.
Huck.
I think that ties Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah, Spy Who Loved Me's got to drop. But so this is what I
know. No backseas.
I've gone backseas almost every other week.
I know, it's exhausting to edit.
No, I always expect you to keep it all in.
I expect you to die. This is a 9.
I'm trying to think, because it really was dynamic. I was entertained the whole time. Did it do all of the things that I wanted out of a film? Not really. He still had his asshole-ish moments. Not as bad. Fuck, is this my first 9? Because then, like, where does Craig go? Is he going to be a 9.5 and a 10?
I think there's definitely a Daniel Craig movie that I would give a 6.
I'm giving this movie an 8.5.
I am going to give this movie an 8.
Wait, what movie did you think is better than this movie?
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
You
mean the movie where he's not a spy? Where he literally doesn't do a single thing
spying?
Yeah,
because it's a great movie happening around a hapless Roger Moore.
True.
I think this movie is, it's an 8.5. It's an 8.5. I don't think it's a 9.
No.
But there's something about it that's like, it's really good. I think it's an 8.5 because it's almost too good in certain parts. There's certain parts of it. Like, it's just the Judi Dench is too good of an actor for her own good. She made me go like, oh, well, she's going to do this and the rest of the movie is going to match her in Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like, I feel like it just like was like a setup story. Like that whole bit was like for us later. And then everything else is like, okay, this is a James Bond movie.
Yeah. And from what I know about the Pierce Brosnan movies, they only get zanier and zanier. Like, this is
they
the most
do?
This is the most grounded one.
I wasn't expecting that. I was expected to go more Syrian.
He's going
to
surf a tsunami at one point.
Oh, yeah. He did.
So, I mean, buckle up for that.
Maybe this is the Live and Let Die of his series, and we just go down.
We're just like, oh, my God, this is the incredible new leaf for the front. Oh, wait a minute.
Right. Except for Spy Love Me really turned around.
Which, Daniel Craig is interesting, because I think all Bonds kind of had their initial big hit, and then it kind of spirals out of control. But I like No Time to Die so much.
Yeah.
We'll see when we get to it. Y'all, that is our thoughts on Goldeneye. Honestly, pretty good movie. I was about to say 10 out of 10, but it's an 8.5.
It's 8.5.
We both decided it's 8.5 out of 10. Next movie, Tomorrow Never Dies, 1997, the year of our birth. Maybe this is the one that, depending on when it was released, led to our conception.
Well, it has to be the very beginning of the year.
It has to be.
We are 9 months.
If this came out January 1st.
That's us.
I don't know where to go from that. We just watched Goldeneye. We're going to watch Tomorrow Never Dies. Maybe tomorrow. Who knows?
Never die.
We'll catch you later.
Bye.